Thank you for being here today. It is the end of summer, and it is the time to travel, and here we are, gathering in this place. I will be talking today about animals, angels, and humans. And I have to confess first that while I have been inspired by Rudolf Steiner since 1987, I am quite lazy. So the accumulated knowledge that you might expect from that long a time of having known of his teachings is perhaps not the fullness of what could be gathered in all those decades. But nonetheless, what I would like to tell you is my opinion. Rudolf Steiner started a branch of knowledge called anthroposophy, which is translated as spiritual science. The science part means you should not believe what is said by me or anyone else. You should take it in and try it out for yourself and see if it is true. So that is what I invite you to do. And I would like to start by talking about animals. We probably were all taught that one of the ways that we are distinguishable from animals is that we use tools. That used to be the definition of, well, you know, we're all coming from apes and we are just more evolved, and but what we what one difference is that we use tools and animals do not. I believe that has been stoutly disproved by the fact that now there are cameras everywhere, and guess what they have found? Lots of tool-using animals. From every kind of ape and monkey that there is, they use tools for all kinds of things, to otters who play with stones, to dolphins and whales who play and use and make a tool out of whatever there is, to an octopus that carries a shell around to hide within, and of course, crows, the smartest of birds. So that distinction between animals and humans no longer applies. For the purpose of today's talk, I would like to define animals as an expression of innocent, unself-conscious joy of life. If anyone here has a dog, would you raise your hand for a second? And I have never been a dog owner, but my impression of dogs, my experience of dogs, which anyone can live with who looks at a YouTube videos of puppies, dogs are every emotion that we can possibly have, especially the good ones. Their tails wag, they run, they climb, they jump, they lick. They do what we perhaps might want to do, but really are trained not to do anymore once we're old enough. But dogs are one example of the joy of creation, of life, of activity, of doing things, of being alive. You can take just about any animal, including the sloth, which is apparently fascinating if you slow down enough to appreciate all that it is doing. So when we say in simplified science that we are the result of a long period of evolution and we come from these primitive animals, then up to these, and then there are apes and monkeys, and then there's us, and we are one more animal. That is both a good thing, because animals are an expression of joy, of something that we can identify with and wish to be like, and yet we are not animals in that sense. I'm going to be teaching about introductory zoology, basically, to my fourth graders. And one of the first questions I intend to ask them is, when you look at something, what lets you know that that is an animal and not a person? We know. Children know. Newborns know. They are trained to recognize the configuration of facial features that make a human face, especially, of course, their parents. We can tell just from within that there is something that is human and there is something that is not. We know this. expressing it, what is that difference, has preoccupied people for quite a while. One of the differences that has come about since the "we use tools and they do not" no longer works is that we have language. Yes, we do. Obviously, I am speaking, you are listening, and we're communicating through language. And out of that thought was the experiment of training a gorilla, the famous Coco, how to speak in sign language. Can animals be taught to acquire language? Obviously, dogs learn commands, parrots learn words, and Coco learns sign language. Then the question becomes, here is an animal that can use language. What did that animal use language for? Because clearly she had decades of speaking sign language. And from what little I know, and there may be people who know more and could correct me, but the expression that I saw Coco use most was an expression of feelings. She, in the movie about Mr. Rogers, there was a brief clip of how she welcomed and greeted Mr. Rogers, and how again and again she signed for heart and love and hugged him. So here was an animal expressing emotions in sign language. What we can do with our language is go beyond expressing emotions. Actually, a lot of the time when we try to express emotions, we cry, we laugh, we become mute. We don't, in fact, use our language to express emotion. What we do use our language for is thinking. I think that is the difference between humans and animals. We think. And here is where I'm going to talk about what is the role of angels. We humans are between animals and angels, right there. And angels are part of the invisible world that surrounds us, that is part of a benevolent universe that wishes to help us, communicate with us, and bring us forward. How do we know that there is such a thing out there? It's obviously an old question. People have always wondered, how do we know? Think a moment about what happens when you have an idea. Something just comes to you. I never thought of that before. I have this idea. It could be a creative idea. It could be a problem solved that you have been thinking about. It could be a complete inspiration of something that wasn't in your life before and now it is. Where does it come from? It comes from the spiritual world that wishes to give us something. And what they give us is creativity and wisdom. The ideas that come to us in our sleep, while we're taking a shower, while we're raking the leaves, they come from somewhere. They feel as though maybe they come inside us. Maybe we think it's our brain, maybe we think it's our heart, maybe we think there's a light bulb going off over our head. They come from the beings that are not in a body. They're not physical, they cannot be seen, but they can be experienced, and according to Rudolf Steiner, they wish to communicate with us more and better if we are receptive than they do anyway. They do all the time. There is wisdom and thought and creativity and gifts of inspiration that are available to us if we open ourselves to it. So that benevolent universe of which we are the only part of the created world, the earth as we know it, we are the only part of that that has free will. What do we do with that incredible gift? We have all the freedom to do whatever we want. Clearly, we have the freedom to do every dumb thing imaginable. Humans have done all kinds of things. We daily now, of course, is the main complaint. We watch our screens to the exclusion of everything else, which is not a very intelligent thing to do if you think about it, with what free will we have. So assume, for the purpose of the next few minutes, that we are above animals and that we have the capacity for thinking, that we are below the spiritual world and that we have a body, we have free will, we have the capacity to act on what we are given, what is our job? What ideally should we do with this rich possibility that we represent while we are in our body? Well, we, I believe, are the connection between the world of nature, animals, all the rest of the creation, beautiful roses, lovely trees, the birds, the sky, the rocks. We are part of nature, and we are the connection to the spiritual world that is invisible, that we do not see when we look at nature, that can be experienced within. We are that connection. And we have a task. We can do powerful and tremendous things with our free will and what I would call the currency of love. If we are here, as we as Unitarians always say, to express love, love is what we're here for. We stand on the side of love. The way to express love is attention. The currency of love is attention. And what we do with our attention represents our free will. The freest thing we can do is meditate. We can choose to use our power of thought and attention to do what it can. We have the power to think with gratitude and appreciation and joy about the world of nature, to express our appreciation for the animals, for the stones, for the plants, for all the beings that are in nature that have done things for us so that we can be who we are. We can pay attention to that. And nature responds. If you take a few minutes every day, and I would challenge you to try this. I have when I was in workshops that required that. If you take a few minutes for a few days in a row and you pick a plant or a rock, even a rock, and give your attention to that plant or that rock, you will befriend that rock. The plant will become your beloved best presence in your day. Nature gives something back, but we have to give it attention in order to receive that back. We are, according to the words of the new physics science, which is speaking like religion, we are the observers in what they call the observer effect. The observer effect means things change when someone is watching. It could be at the cellular and atomic level. It could be that the atomic particles move differently because someone is watching and noticing. If we do that with nature, we give our attention to that plant will grow better. That animal will thrive. That rock will release its being and be free. We have that power with our thought. Conversely, we have the power to reach into the unseen and spiritual world. We have an access through our thoughts, through our attention, that will allow us to become the carriers of love in a way that is sustainable and renewable. All of us obviously have many problems in today's world. The election didn't go the way we thought it might. Climate change is worse than we thought it might and coming sooner. The rising sea level, the extinction of animals. There are lots of things that can make us feel discouraged and powerless and not able to do something. That is not true. We, the paragon of animals, in apprehension like a god, we have all the effect that we can gather if we harness our attention. we can make a difference in nature. We can make a difference in how much inspiration and love and creativity comes to us from the world of the spirits. We are that conduit. We are that difference. We are immensely powerful. We are incredibly important. We have a task of bringing love into this world and expressing it and making it thrive. We can do it for a minute a day, or however long we choose to train ourselves to pay attention. That is our task. We bring love, the currency of love is attention, and we can redeem nature with it, and we can bring into our world the creativity and the wisdom that is its rightful. That is who we are.